Now, why did people get any confusion whatsoever? And I want to suggest here's as clear as mud explanation of that. Psalm 94 says this in verse 14 and 15. Psalm 94 says, "The Lord will not reject his people. He will not abandon his special possession. Judgment will again be founded on justice, and those with virtual hearts will pursue it." God will not reject his people. Judgment will again be founded on justice, and those with virtuous hearts will pursue it. You get from Psalm 94. Okay, God will not forsake his people. He will not reject his people. However, if you look at Psalm 78, and you're somebody who only read Psalm 78 that day, what would you think if you read this? "He drove out nations before them. He apportioned for them a possession and settled the tribes of Israel in their tents. Yet they tested and rebelled against the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies, but turned away and acted treacherously like their fathers. They twisted like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places. They moved him to jealousy with their idols. When God heard, he was full of wrath, and he utterly rejected Israel." What do I do with it? It seems to be saying both. He will not reject his people. He utterly rejected Israel. And so you can see that even in Paul's day, or even in the day before the New Testament was being preached, what's going on here? God said to Abraham, "You are special because you believed me and you trusted my promise. I'm going to establish something through you that will bless the entire world." And yet those people, centuries later, they turned from God completely as a nation. They had kings who turned away from God. They had priests who prophesied falsely. They had people doing secret and naughty things behind the scenes. And God says that he rejected them. And you hear about the Babylonian captivity when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came and he conquered Israel and drug them away from the land. After 490 years of not honoring the Sabbath that God required for the land once every 7 years, he took them away and gave the land its rest every year for once every 7 years that was missed for 490 years. He kept the people of Israel in Babylon 70 years. And then they were brought back. God deals with his people. He will not accept when his people do not follow him. Just to say, I believe, is not a get-out-of-jail card for the people who call God their God. For the people who say, "Me, I am one of God's people. When you see me, you see what people of God are like." And this is what we get from the scripture. Now, in Ezekiel chapter 14, a little bit more of the same idea. So if you were in Psalms and you went to the right in your Bible, a couple of pages, you're going to see Isaiah, you're going to see Jeremiah, and then you're going to end up in Ezekiel. And Ezekiel 14, "Thus says the Lord God." Chapter 14, verse 6, "Repent and turn away from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For anyone of the house of Israel, or of the strangers who travel in Israel, who separates himself from me, taking his idols into his heart, and putting the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and yet comes to a prophet to consult me through him, I, the Lord, will answer him myself. And I will set my face against that man, and I will make him a sign and a byword, and cut him off from the midst of my people. And you shall know that I am the Lord." Serious business. Anybody who lives like hell all week and then comes to church on Sunday and goes, "Yes, hello, yes, yes." Anybody who lives their secret life of profanity and obscenity and then comes to the prophet and says, "Yes, tell me of the Lord," I will answer him myself. And my answer to him is, "You are going to be dealt with according to the way that you're living, not the way that you're talking. Not that you nod when in church he says the right thing. I'll deal with you." Very serious stuff. Very serious stuff. Ezekiel comes at a time when Israel is being dealt with harshly for their disobedience. Anybody start to squirm under the weight of this? Because I do under the study of it. And I think, what am I like? I'm a father's son. Anybody said this week, my goodness, my mother's words are coming out of my lips. I'm like them. I'm not different. I set out to be different. He continues in chapter 14 of Ezekiel in verse 9. If the prophet is deceived and speaks a word, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand against him, and I will destroy him from the midst of my people. And they shall bear their punishment. The punishment of the prophet and the punishment of the inquirer shall be alike, that the house of Israel may no more go astray from me, nor defile themselves any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people and I may be their God, declares the Lord God. I'm going to deal with everyone who steps out. And when they see what happens, the people who steps out, boy, oh boy, no one's going to sit there and say, I'm a faker till I make it. They're going to say, oh dear God, keep me near. Oh God, I don't want to blow that. Please keep me close. This is the word from Ezekiel in chapter 14. So maybe you're in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18, God says something else to the same people. Don't worry, I'm not going to beat you up all morning. This isn't a feel-bad thing, but you have to get the bad news and agree with the doctor, and then you come for the treatment, right? So here's what Ezekiel says in chapter 18, verse 25, says this, hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Right? If there's a God, why does this world look like this? And God says, is my way not just? Those people aren't following me. It's your ways that are not just. You have made this lovely world the way that it is. That's appropriate, isn't it? Is that wrong? Is that off base? Because that's what the scripture is leading us toward as we look at Ezekiel. And God says this. When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life. Because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions he had committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Plain and simple, isn't it? God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, said, tell me you're righteous and be righteous, and turn away from righteousness and consequence. But, wait a minute. What about that doctrine in the podcasts? What about the perseverance of the saints? What about the once saved, always saved? I was taught that. How can it be that it says if anyone turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, they will die for it? How can the God who's the same yesterday, today, and always say such things that seem to contradict? And they don't contradict. If you are Christ's, you follow Christ. If you are saved, it pleases you to obey God and to do his will. If you walk in righteousness and you sin, your conscience convicts you and you must return. If you are in the midst of your sin and you are wallowed in the mire like the prodigal son, you know no joy. Like Lot in unrighteous Sodom, you are grieved by yourself and what surrounds you when you're where you are. But if you go off and you do those things and you get away with it and you don't care, you have to stop and say, why am I not disciplined as a child of God who's faithful to his children? Because there is a perseverance of the saints. There is these words of Jesus that you'll remember as I read them to you from John chapter 10. Now, Jesus, when he was speaking to the Jews at the time, he said, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. So you know how that is when you're out in the world and you get chuckled at and you get snarfed at. And some of you, and myself included, we get shy in the midst of the people whom we know do not believe. Shame on me. I don't know about shame, because it's the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ who is risen, who has said, "You, Fraser, come here and sit with me." But I let myself down and my expectations of what I will do for God when I will take a stand for God. How wonderful that Ezekiel stood up in the day and Isaiah stood up in the day, sawn in half by an evil king for standing up for God. Jesus Christ suffered more than any of us to the point of death. God is not asking that of you. As far as I know, it's possible that the world could change that much that quick. And we would face something like that. There are people coming to faith in places where there is no Christianity allowed right now. And we prayed for the persecuted church at some of the tables last week. God has his people and calls us to follow him. We are to be righteous. And if we turn away from him, he cannot bless unrighteousness. He will have no fellowship with darkness. We know this. So, you pretty good? Are you pretty good? Nobody here doing any murders? Yeah? Okay. But very good. Holy. Righteous. Every step. Do you let it slip? Do you let it slide? Do you compromise? You know that you do. I know that you do. Wherever it is, wherever the margin is, bring that back to the Lord this morning. God, you know what I'm like. Now, this isn't so that you will then pummel yourself with guilt and shame and harsh feelings. I know, Lord, I know. I should have been on my knees longer. I don't even have extra scar tissue on my kneecaps from being praying. That's not my point. My point is the sinful dalliance is no place in the congregation. And it grieves the Holy Spirit who lives in you, believer. That's the point.